standing in awe of your grace and your mercy. Lord, we pray that not only will those words to that song, but your word just ring loud in our hearts this new year. May each and every one of us boldly proclaim our faith. So, Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time that we can gather together in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Have a seat, and good morning. And all of you online, a special welcome to you. I know many of you came for the Christmas Eve service. It was so great to see so many of our friends join us for worship, and I wish everyone could have been here. It was an incredible time. Now, I have a cold. I'm not going to say a bad cold because I've never had a good one. So I may from time to time reach over to my water and my cough drop, so just bear with me as I try to get through this, but God is good in his mercy. But you know what? That's what's his word. It doesn't need me to be effective, does it? Say no. Okay, I just help it along, right? Well, you know, it is really an honor to be with all of you here today and all of you online, because we have just experienced an incredible Christmas season, haven't we? How many of you, a great Christmas this year? Yeah, I'm sure a couple may have had some bumps in the road, but for the most part, it is about Christ and not about us. And, you know, I just had a blast here this year, and I thank you so much for that. You know, and through our sermon series, as we unpack the gifts that God has given us through the... It's already gone. What'd you do with the Advent wreath already? It's gone. See how quickly there? Through the Advent wreath that was normally right here, we talked about all the gifts, as reflected in the candles. But we have talked about so many of God's messengers, these great role models of faith, those who have come into our life and encouraged us and directed us in our own faith life. We have heard from the great prophets like Isaiah, Ezekiel, and Samuel as they have spoken to us through the Holy Scriptures. We have read of visits from angels. We have seen just great displays of faith and courage by those like Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and so many in the Christmas story. But friends, the Christmas story has really just begun. Because today we will see Mary and Joseph again, but we will meet two more of our heroes of Scripture, Simeon and Anna. And by their examples, these biblical characters, these heroes of our faith, proclaim the gospel message in such a unique way as they share with us a simple but, well, profound lesson on how we live our lives, trusting in God, and then nurturing our faith and that relationship we have with God. Now, I get it, the location of the first scene of the Christmas story, we all know. It's that birth of Jesus in the stable. Everybody knows that. The second scene of Christmas, however, is not so, well, popular or so famous. It's where we'll focus at today, and it's not located in that manger. No, they've moved on. Now it is in the temple. The temple, we heard it in our readings. Let me set the stage for you a little bit here, because it is where Mary and Joseph bring Jesus back to the temple, and what they're doing here is they're following the law, the Levitical law of what's called the 40-day purification process after childbirth. If you want to read more about this, you can feel free to go to Leviticus chapter 12. And I know it's a book that every one of you have read cover to cover, right? Leviticus? Yeah, it's a tough one. So let's go to that reading and let's see. And at the end of the 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Sorry about that. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Okay, so they're following the law. They bring Jesus back to the temple for this purification process. It's a whole formula that they have to do in Leviticus. And this is where our story begins. See, the purification process was a religious obligation because Jesus was Mary and Joseph's firstborn child. So by the Levitical law, a couple things need to happen. Number one, the young man needed to be circumcised at 8 days old. And then two, they would bring him back to the temple at the end of the 40 days. And there's that formula that they have. Because, in case you're wondering why they had to wait this long, these are some of those laws that they have there. Because after childbirth, the mother was considered ceremonially unclean after childbirth. So at this dedication, they offered, as we heard in our readings, the Lord required a pair of doves, or if you were poor, you could give a couple pigeons. Now, on the surface, I see some heads already starting to go down, and eyes started to get a little droopy. Okay, on the surface, I get it. These are some pretty boring details. Because after all, there's no angels singing from the mountaintop, shown in all God's glory. There's no bright stars leading wise men from the east to where the manger is. But yet, in these few verses, we get a glimpse of the depth of the faith of Mary and Joseph. Because, see, they were both very deeply devoted, trying to live this life, this religious life, under the rituals or the laws of the Jewish faith. And this is where we first meet Simeon, who is described by a man who is righteous and devout, the Bible tells us. And he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Now, I get it. Simeon is not a name typically associated with the Christmas story. How many of you got Simeon Christmas cards this year? Anybody? No, I didn't get one either. As a matter of fact, if this was a Hollywood movie, Simeon's name would be in really small letters on about the 14th page of the rolling credits. Because, of course, the stars of the Christmas story is Jesus, the baby, right? Co-starring Mary and Joseph. And, of course, the shepherds and the angels appearing in the fields. Even the sheep and the cows got a higher billing than Simeon in the Christmas story. But you know, I'm drawn to this man, Simeon. I really am. I always have been. I'm drawn to Simeon and his story, how he fits in to this Christmas story. Because I believe that Simeon captures the real spirit of Christmas. Because in my humble opinion, I think he was dialed in to God when nobody else was. Because the kings and the leaders around the world could care less about this little baby born in a manger. But Simeon was a part of a small group of people that had been given divine insight. The Bible says about Simeon, now look, this is a man in Jerusalem called Simeon. He was righteous and devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he seen the Lord's Messiah. So, moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. Now, I just want to just hit the pause button here for a second. And since I got the remote, I can. Do you notice something highlighted three times there? Three times the Holy Spirit is tied into this man, Simeon. Three times the Holy Spirit is mentioned along with this man. And here's what I really find interesting about this for us today. Though our text gives no outward description of Simeon, because at this point you couldn't pick him out of a lineup if you wanted to. You just know that he's an old guy, probably has a long beard, a flowing robe, and looks a lot like me, but without the beard. But what our text does give is an inward description of the man. And do you know why that is so important for us here today? Why is the inward description so critical to this story, to your story? Because that is what God is more concerned about in us, in our life. It is our inward life, that is our integrity, our hearts, versus our outward appearance. And this is nothing new. This goes all the way back to the prophet Samuel, where Samuel says, "For the Lord sees not as man sees." Man looks at the outward appearance. Man looks at what you look like, what you drive, what you, where you live. No, God looks at the heart. He looks at your heart. Clearly, this is what God is more concerned with us. It's our inward character versus our outward character as opposed to how the world judges us. So what we see here about Simeon in verse 25 is he is waiting for the consolation of Israel. One of those churchy words that no one has any idea what it means. Well, let me tell you what that means. Simeon's waiting for the consolation of Israel. What that simply means is he's waiting for the Messiah to come. He's waiting for him to come and set things right. Once again, the mess that sin has caused between that relationship. Relationship, remember that word, between us and the Father. As a matter of fact, there was actually an old Jewish prayer that's still cited today, and it says, "Allow me, Lord, to behold the consolation of Israel." Which is, by the way, a messianic promise that goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, where they were promised a Savior. We talked about that a few weeks ago. All right, let's go on to our next point. We read that Simeon, in verse 26, is highly favored. So much so that it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he saw the Lord's Messiah. That is, the Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went to the temple courts where the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom and the law required. Okay. I'm going to let you let your mind's eye kind of see some things here. Picture the temple. Cold stone walls. Old guy with a robe. And there's Simeon. Flowing white beard. Every time a young couple brings a baby in, he goes, Is that the Christ child? No, that's not him. How about that one? Is that Christ? No, that's not him either. Another couple comes in. Is that the Christ? No, that's not the Christ child either. Then one day, this young couple, this poor couple, walk into the temple, Joseph and Mary, and the Holy Spirit impressed upon Simeon's heart that this is the Christ child. Then, and we don't really know how this actually went down, but Simeon makes his way over to this young couple. I can almost imagine him kind of clearing his throat. Excuse me, folks, but can I hold your baby for a moment? The Bible tells us that he took the baby in his arms and he says, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles," that is anybody that's non-Jewish, and for your glory of your people Israel. See, in other words, Simeon says, you know, Lord, you can take me now. I'll die right now, and I'll die happy because you have kept your promise to me. For I have seen the Christ child. I have seen. Now, I'm going to just kind of digress here for a quick second because it's something that's really important to this that quite often we will overlook, because what we're reading here is what was translated, written in Greek, okay? If Simeon would have been Greek or spoke Greek, he would have said, "For my eyes have seen soteria," which is the Greek for salvation. But Simeon was Jewish. So logic would dictate that he spoke Hebrew, right? Logic would dictate. And then what he said was then translated into Greek and put into the Bibles that we read today, translated to English. He would have said in his Hebrew language, his language of worship, "For my eyes have seen Yeshua," meaning God is my salvation. My eyes have seen Yeshua. And this is why this is so critical to our reading today. Because, friends, salvation, it is not just something you get. It is someone that you know. It is a relationship with Jesus. Amen? Amen? It is a relationship with the Savior. See, Jesus never came around and said, "Hey, you know, it's your lifestyle. It's the way you live. That's what gets you to heaven." No, he said, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. It's through me you get to heaven. It's through me. Follow me." Jesus never said, "Follow some religious teachings. Matter of fact, find some church that you really like where the music is good and the donuts are awesome." No. He said, "Follow me." Friends, God's Christmas gift to us is this baby, wrapped in human flesh, lying in a manger. A light, as we just read, a light that came into the world to save every one of us who is walking in darkness and can't see where we're going. That's the gift of Christmas. All right, let's take one final look at our reading today. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Wouldn't you? I mean, here's this guy talking about all these things. But this is incredible what Simeon says here. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel and be a sign that will be spoken against." And then 35, listen to this one. "So that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." Now, how many of you have taken your child to the church to be baptized? Okay. Imagine taking your child to the church and the pastor goes, "Oh, what a beautiful baby. But you know, this child is going to be one of the most hated and most loved kids in the world." Did you know that? How could you even process that? So I'd like to close and draw your attention to verse 35. Because this is the first hint of the cross to Mary and Joseph. The first hint. "So that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." See, this to me is a prediction of the day that Mary stands as she watches her son die slowly on the cross. And that will be a dagger piercing her heart. You know, friends, if you want to see the manger scene clearly, or dare I say, completely, You must see the shadow over the manger that he lay. See, Mary will go out from the temple that day prepared to receive that emotional dagger in her heart. But fear not. Fear not. Because on the third day, that little baby will rise from the dead and heal Mary's damaged heart. In fact, the entire Christmas story could be summarized in one single statement. That love came down to heal all damaged hearts. For Simeon, that day in the temple, he received Jesus in his heart. That knowledge of the Messiah went from here to here. And it could be like that for some of you here today or some of you online. Like Simeon, you're waiting a long time for some peace in your life, some healing. Maybe you're at that point in your life when everything that you try just seems to fall flat. Every experience just doesn't satisfy. Perhaps you're still living with some past mistakes or the burden of some sin in your life. But know this, friends, that the consolation that Simeon speaks of, let me change that. I don't normally change words in Scripture, but I'm going to change it today. For you today, that word consolation that we're all waiting for, let's call it relief. Relief has come, and his name is Jesus. We stand today at the beginning of a new year, 2025. And it would be valuable for us to stop, to take pause in our lives and review how do we nurture our faith every day? In what ways do we open ourselves up to the movement of the Holy Spirit in our lives? I guess the bigger question is, how are we going to grow closer to God in 2025? I guess we can do it a number of different ways. We can do it through study. We can do it through coming to service, through sacrificial giving, through fellowship, through any number of ways that brings glory to God. Just simply hanging out with someone that needs relief. So my prayer in closing for each and every one of you here and online and everybody that will read this and listen to it is that Jesus will become a larger part of your life. As to what Bob said, a more significant part of your life. Not just someone you pray to at mealtime, but someone you turn to every moment of every day. Remembering the most important part of our faith, and that is to share the love of Jesus to those people that need relief. So, friends, may the peace of the Lord be with you. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for gifts of love, joy, peace. We thank you for these great heroes of Scripture, Simeon and Anna and so many more. Father, we thank you for your constant love, your presence in our lives. And though today we have friends that are, whether they're home or in the hospital or sick or struggling, we reach out to you this day saying that relief has come, and that relief is Jesus the Christ. And it is in his name that we pray. Amen.